Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you so much, Dave Solomon. Gosh, whenever I take a day off, it feels like it's been a week and a half or so. Amazing. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Hopefully it's that way wherever you are, and I so appreciate that you stopped in. Yeah. Had to hit that post. Thank you, Daoud. Love that intro music, Daoud Saeed, by the way, one of the more respected keyboardists in this mid-Atlantic region. Oh, yes. We've got respect flying all over the place today. Didn't know until yesterday that a second guest would be stopping by somewhere in the vicinity of 2:30 and 3 o'clock. At 2 o'clock, or next hour, if you are listening in the archives, because this starts at 1 o'clock Eastern USA time in Baltimore, Maryland. The next hour at the top will be Reza Zela. Oh my gosh, I have to go back and make sure I'm pronouncing that name correctly, because honestly, he just came to my attention, this consummate bass player, about 3 months ago. So I've been really digging Reza music. In the meantime, then Tracy Hamlin comes your way too, sometime after the interview with Reza. So stick around, it's going to be a good show. We always start with a classic. This is Cannonball Adderley.
You know, sometimes we're not prepared for adversity. When it happens, sometimes we're caught short. We don't know exactly how to handle it when it comes up. Sometimes we don't know just what to do when adversity takes over. And I have advice for all of us. I got it from our pianist, Joe Zawinul, who wrote this tune. And it sounds like what you're supposed to say when you have that kind of problem. It's called mercy, mercy, mercy.
Thank you.
mercy, mercy, mercy. Thank you.
Thank you.
There he is. There he bloody is. The man in the profile picture on Facebook from yours truly, Slim Man. One by one from a thousand miles away. And just to give you a little credentials about this, in case you have never heard us speak on Slim Man, which I know that you have, but it's a rare occasion if you did not. I just cannot say enough about the man now, because we just saw him on Saturday at Ram's Head in Annapolis. Now, I'm going back to the CD because it just strikes me that I didn't know the guys who are playing on the CD as well as I do now. And when you see George Hazelrigg, for example, on piano after hearing him on CD, you have a whole new appreciation for him, truly. And I hope that this gets back to George, because I can't say enough about his artistry on stage and being at one with Slim, as was the case with Hitman Howie Z on percussion. Just so amazing. And Johnny Cole on drums. Woo! Kevin Levi is not here on the CD, but he was on that stage on Saturday night. And let me tell you something. He just rocked Annapolis so much, and we're so tickled because it was sold out at Ram's Head. And I know that they were thrilled. The staff was really looking forward to Slim Man and to David Bach, and that's another story entirely. Woo! He's coming up, by the way. Slim just got back to Nashville. He and Batu took turns at the wheel. I got a call from Batu while they were on the road. He said, "Trish, Dad is driving me crazy. Every time I take the wheel, he has to be a backseat driver. Could you talk to him?" So I got to make the call after the show. You know how it goes. When a dog is behind the wheel, he or she likes to focus. We all know that. Never mind. Jerry Mulligan, we heard in that second song, and that's just so cool because Jerry Mulligan back in 1971 was on a renewed roll. He had been so popular from 1952 to 1965. This big, unique baritonist riding high in the jazz world. And it's not that he disappeared, but he revamped, retooled, re-something or other. And he came back with a CD that was, and I'm trying to figure out my writing because I did this a few weeks ago. The Age of Steam is the name of the CD. Over the Hill and Out of the Woods is the name of the track. Actually, when you do a search or two on the song, it will tell you about three different variations on the title of the song, but that's it. A comeback project, as it were, after laying low. And, man, he just came back. It sounded so fresh, and I love that track, 8 minutes worth. It's just beautiful. And, by the way, if you go to Amazon for $19.95, you can get 4 hours worth of the music and a DVD that came out in 2005, just a beautiful thing. And you can feel how energized everybody was. Bud Shank, Bob Brookmeyer, Tom Scott, tenor sax, Harry Sweets, Edison on trumpet. Really a beautiful project. And I can't say enough about those guys and those gals who take a little break, or maybe something happens to them in their career, and then they come looming back. Just when you are about to write them off, they come looming back better than ever. That takes courage. You know that? Because if you lose momentum in the music industry and then you just prove the odds makers all wrong, oh, I love that. Cannonball Adderley started the whole set in 1966 for Mercy, 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 live at the club, which really wasn't a club. It was a recording studio, and everybody got plastered. But it was a good time, and you could tell. Cannonball Adderley, born in September of 1928, passed away in August of 1975. If you didn't know, he played with Ray Charles in the early 1940s. Moved to New York and sat in one night at Cafe Bohemia. He didn't want to leave his saxophone in the car because he wasn't sure of the neighborhood. So he asked the guys in the band, this was Oscar Pettiford's band, if he could maybe sit in for a little bit or play something. Well, he wowed the place so much that his career took off from then on after. Isn't that a cool thing? I love that. So on there, of course, Brother Nat on cornet, Joe Zawinul, who wrote the song on keyboard. God bless him, too. Victor Gaskin on bass, and Roy McCurdy on drums. Just in case you didn't know this, too, Cannonball Adderley was an avid educator, and if you are blessed enough to pick up something from 1961, it's a child's introduction to jazz, something that Chelsea Green could tell us a little bit about since she is so vastly educated, a beautiful woman inside and out. That violin has seen some experiences in her young life. We love this EP so much. Still Green, Chelsea Green and the Green Project. This is called Pizzicato, and our guest is coming up next hour on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, Reza Saleh. I'm going to get him to say his name so I can say it properly. I've gone over this time and time again, but I want him to say it. Enjoy the music, and thanks for being there. This is Hybrid Jazz.
Yeah.
that what do you get when you put a Costa Rican percussionist together with a superstar vocalist from Mexico? What you get is closed doors for several hours in the middle of the afternoon. That's what you get. Woo! Lord! That song and this CD is just so fine. Luis Munoz and Luz with the incredible Magos Herrera on vocals, one of the superstars of Latin America. Can I just tell you? Oh, my gosh. This woman is a writer, a singer, a TV, a radio host. She is just beloved in so many different parts of Latin America, but she calls Mexico City her hometown. And Testamento Mas Ala for my wife, Holly Ann. Luis, I love you so. Bless his heart. The combination of folks on here with Luis on percussion, Chris Judge on acoustic guitar, Magos on vocals, George Friedenthal on piano, Tom Etchart on acoustic bass, and Jonathan Dane on trumpet. Just exquisite. And the whole CD is like that. This is one of those men, and you heard me talk about Luis when we were playing a number of tracks, which we still will, from his previous project called Invisible. There's something very special about the way he communicates music, and then he surrounds himself with people who are on the same page. That is everything. You just can't take a musician and have him feel the way you do. You have to know that folks are looking in the same direction, and that's what's astounding about the music. Every single track, just beautiful. David Bach. Can I just say a word about David Bach? He opened for Slim Man on Saturday night at Ram's Head in Annapolis, Maryland, and what you heard is Window on the West from 1998. David, and this is really rare for me to say this, I don't think I've ever said it on the show or really have ever thought about it in this way. The pacing of that show in that intimate venue on Saturday night was some of the best pacing for instrumental music I've ever seen. When that hits you like that, that's really saying something. He had a gentleman that was playing percussion with him that was extremely creative with that percussion. He had David Mark Wells on saxophone, who was just brilliant in tune with David. Lorenzo Sands, who I have known for a number of years, on bass. He's a beast. And I've never met this gentleman. I love his name. Andy Hamburger on drums was doing his thing, and just really in tune to what David had in mind on keyboard. And on keyboard, it's really rare to find somebody like him. And I want to give the percussion man his props. So let me look up his name, because I didn't even meet him, but we are new friends on Facebook, so I want to get his name. In any case, everybody was so thrilled. This really was a sold-out show, and we were also delighted about that. Eddie Montalvo is the name of the percussionist. Just delightful. David and I had a chance to talk afterwards, and he was so tickled. So he might be joining me to see George Duke at the Birchmere in Alexandria coming up in August. And by the way, George will be on Hybrid Jazz on August the 6th. We're going to do a special show from 2 p.m. till 5 because George joins me at 1 o'clock Pacific time, 4 p.m. Eastern time. So you don't think I'm going to move heaven and earth to get George Duke on here again? Come on. Anyway, David Bach there, George Duke coming up on the 6th of August. And, by the way, on the 30th of July, Steve Cole. Yes, because he and Nick Colleone are coming to Ram's Head. So, yeah, it's all working out just great. Chelsea Green from Still Green, the EP Pizzicato, the name of that tune. Wasn't it lovely? And by the way, Chelsea has plans to be, at the Smithsonian African Art Museum. It's a free event on August the 3rd. Yes. You can also see her on the brand new video with Carolyn Malachi. Don't miss that. It's just beautiful. And Pizzicato, just so you know, written by Chelsea Green and Kevin Powell Jr. Yes. Aaron Harden, Kevin, and Brian Spida Wheatley on the song with her, too. We're going to get to it. And this will be one of the first times that I've done this. But maybe Griselda can help me out because our guest at 2 o'clock has made the rounds lately on the different shows online. And usually I like to space the interviews out so that if a guest has been on one show, he's not on Hybrid Jazz for a couple of weeks at least. But that was an opportunity that wasn't quite captured. So maybe Griselda, who's in the chat room, as well as Beach, the return of the bride from Southern California, is in the chat room. Maybe Griselda can help me out with the pronunciation, but I want Reza Salah to say his name himself so that I, because I'm really a bugaboo. Ever since Sade, you know, who would ever think that when you see S-A-D-E, it's supposed to be pronounced either Sade or Sade? Yeah, so you just want to make sure that everybody gets the right respect, you know? All right, let's turn our attention to Lee Ritenour, shall we? We need to funk this up a little bit, so we're going to do it with Fat Albert Rotunda from Rhythm Sessions on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
the tunes that I have heard recently, no joke. You know how some songs hit you, and all of a sudden, if you feel a little bit questionable or you're feeling even down, something can just take you away and put you in that place where you always run to whenever you wish to feel better. And that's what that song did from First Step, Early Birds, from this gentleman that you are just about to hear from. And let me just say this. Griselda Medina is with us in the chat room. Griselda had an opportunity to speak to our guest recently. She informs me that the correct way to say this bass master composer's name is Reza Saleh, and I'm going to find out if that's the case or not. Hey, how are you?
Very good. How are you, Chris?
I'm good. I can hear the smile in your voice. I can hear it.
Very well. It's a good day.
It's a good day. And let me just, and you know what? You say your name for me.
Reza. Ali. Yes.
Okay, Reza, say the last name again.
Saleh. Reza, yes.
So Griselda was wrong.
No, nobody's wrong. Everybody has their own way, and I like it. How about
you
that?
Do? Honestly, you do?
I do. It's just different, so it's fine.
I'm just such a bugaboo because everybody deserves so much respect as far as their name is concerned. I'm a globalist, if you will. So everybody is my brother and sister, and when I hear these beautiful names, you have to do them justice. So Reza, welcome to the Doggone Show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the music. Oh my gosh. You really went through some sort of culture shock to come from Indonesia to California. How was that?
So far, it's been an amazing journey.
Has it?
Yeah. A lot of difference in every way, but so far it's going very good.
So what made you decide, you had to come to a decision to come to the States. What made you decide to go to, I'm assuming it's the Long Beach area, correct?
No, well, at first with the family, we moved to Denver, Colorado.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. and that really was something else because of the sky high. How did you adjust to that?
Oh, it's a big culture shock, definitely, Denver, Colorado, because we moved in on January. I know it was going to be cold, but I didn't know it was that cold. That cold doesn't even register in my head yet, you know? It was a big surprise. Yes.
And did you find your way around music in Colorado, or did you hold tight to what you had learned back in your home country, and then you really spread your wings and flew in California?
Both. I would say both. I mean, I held on what I've learned, but I also learned a lot, too, while I was in Colorado. I met a couple of great musicians, too, out there. And then, while I was in Colorado, I was pursuing my school. And then, as soon as I finished the community college, I tried to transfer to continue my education to any university that first accepted me. I would go there. And lucky me, the first university that accepted me was Cal State Fullerton. So then we transferred. And then I transferred to Southern California and pursued my music. And so far, it's going very good.
I am so tickled. Caltech Fullerton. Ooh, that was great. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you must have been in a little bit of heaven to be there because that's a really desirable location for you because not only is it more, shall we say, pleasant as far as the weather conditions are concerned, But then you got so much into the mainstream of the musical climate there that you got a pretty prestigious acknowledgement from the Long Beach Jazz Festival, didn't you?
That was such a blessing, yes.
That's cool. And how, because I would imagine that's pretty competitive. Am I right or wrong about that?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Well, that was a couple of years ago, and I know that First Step has come out in the meantime. What kind of response are you getting from First Step, Reza? I'm curious, because you really do have some major chops on this. Of course, you've been playing like mostly all of your life. So how have people responded to you?
So far, it's been amazing. I mean, I got in an interview with you guys, so that tells me something. And
well, that's good.
And I get much contacts where, you know, I would never know them, you know. I mean, I'm so privileged I got to know them through my music. Like, you know, people had contacted me, man, I listened to your music, you were great, da-da-da, and, you know, we made new friends from all over the world, and it's amazing to me how music affects
me. I love the idea, I really do, that you are from another country, and I know that you certainly have assimilated to the United States, but I'm always intent on hearing the kinds of perspectives that somebody from somewhere else with a culture that is indigenous to you, inside of you, you bring something different to the table than somebody who was born and raised in the States. That's very intriguing to me. So, I mean, here you are as a younger man, and you, God bless your dad, because he was instrumental in making you grow as an artist. I love the idea that when you came home from school, you and your brother would have, like, jam sessions, right?
Yes, that was definitely after lunch. Then we could then our mom let us play the instrument. We really wanted to play right away, but no, she said make sure you had your lunch, do your homework, then you can play. And then that was the toys that we had to play. So
well,
it was very memorable, very good.
You had the best of both worlds because your father encouraged you with the music and your mom encouraged you with the homework.
Exactly.
That is so cool. So your world kind of changed when you saw an Earth, Wind, and Fire concert?
Oh, my God, yes. Yes. I know it was great to play music, and I know that music... that time in my world was playing together was only like two or three people at the same time, or maybe four, you know? But when I saw Earth, Wind, and Fire, they got... 12, maybe 16 people on stage at the same time, and everybody was grooving. That really shocked me, like, wow, it is possible. And yet, everybody is like their own pattern, I mean, their own thing, not everybody doing the same thing at the same time. You know, that's what, it still gets me if I think about them again. It still does. It's just
amazing.
Yes.
So, you actually saw Maurice White with Earth, Wind, and Fire, didn't you?
Oh, no, not in person. I mean, on a DVD. This was in Indonesia, so.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. Wow.
Yeah,
They hit you that way when you saw them on DVD. You really were mesmerized. Wow. That's awesome. And you were, did that compel you to play even harder, and did it make you dream so that you decided that you were going to make a living doing music?
I dream of doing music like them. You know, I never dream of, you know, like doing music for a living, you know, because I was still little, you know, I didn't think about making a living, you know, I just want to play music like them, like how they were smiling and grooving at the same time and singing.
Wow.
And playing drums or, you know, whatever. That's just, undescribable to me.
Oh, definitely. Oh, for sure. I mean, there's so many people who will say that Earth, Wind, and Fire are one of the definitive acts in American music, because I don't know if you ever heard this story, Reza, but this was going back years ago. Early on in Earth, Wind, and Fire's career, there are some people who absolutely swore that they saw Maurice White, especially, elevated. It's as if he rose from the stage.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
He has that energy, yes.
He is so, of course, he's got this debilitating illness now, and he's not touring with them, but he was smart enough to make a business deal with the group whereby he has the rights, basically, to Earth, Wind, and Fire. They still march on. They're still touring. But he has the way to control the business side of things. But he was also so artistic and so spiritual. So, you know, in every way of being a full-fledged human being, he was masterful. And he just zoned out, and a couple of people have said that they saw a few of them rise at the same time in concert. Can you imagine?
Man, that'd be an experience, yeah.
Wow, yeah. So you have this amazing joy in playing, and I know that you've been told that before, right?
Yeah. Sometimes people tell me I smile too much, like as if I'm not serious, but I can't help it.
No, don't pay attention to those people.
Yeah. Okay.
Your focus, because I did some research on you. You are intent on chord progressions and harmonies. Who was it that inspired you to play the bass? Because there must have been somebody or somebodies.
Oh, well, inspired to play the bass. Well, let me see. I didn't even, you know, I have no interest in bass. I have an interest in guitar.
Okay.
And then I tried to take a couple lessons. I was trying to get the basic chords together, but I just can't get it together. My fingers were just won't let me those in a certain position, just won't let me do it. But then I'm still curious, right? But then my brother had a band, and then I wanted to ask who I thought he was the guitar player to help me out with his chords. And then he showed me a simpler version, and then he told me, Reza, this is a bass. It's not a guitar. And on a bass, if you want to do that chord, you just do it like this, boom, with just one note. So to me, oh, my God, you know, that's much easier than a guitar. Then I switched to bass. So
huh.
Very guitar player, but that's how I switched the bass. But then I learned it's not about, well, chord is there, but it's more about the groove. Then there we go. Then I started opening the new world of groove from Earth, Wind, and Fire, the connection to bass.
And it's so funny too, because it just goes to show you, you know, you've got your own particular kind of soul. And it's a joyful kind of soul, because I have seen some video clips of you where you were smiling. You so enjoy this, and you were just meant to play the bass because you get it. Sometimes you can teach people how to play an instrument, but they don't understand the instrument, and you have seen that.
Yeah.
And then there can be people who are technically perfect, but they don't feel the music. So you've got the best of all worlds when you play, because you play extraordinarily well, and you feel you are welcome, and then you feel what the instrument is supposed to do. Did you get really discouraged at one point? And did Victor Wooten have anything to say with you getting back on your feet?
Absolutely. Coming out of Well, no, what you said earlier, that's a really high compliment for me, because, you know, I never take an official school education, you know. So I'm in music education, but so what I play is really what I feel, and it sure feels good so far. That's why I can't help myself smiling, and you know, and I don't think about scale because I don't really know them, you know, because I didn't go to music school. I mean, I know the basic stuff, so that's why I really enjoy my playing. And then I was always positioning myself bass player. You know, I gotta support someone. I gotta be someone. You know, I gotta be in the back, laying the groove. But then, you know, this was kind of in between moving out from Colorado to California. I didn't have any musician friends, so I can't really jam with anybody, or, you know, so I kind of got to that point where maybe I should pursue something else. You know, I'm not meeting anybody, you know, I'm not really doing bass anymore. But then a friend of mine showed me, have you heard of Victor Wooten? I said, no, not yet. And then the first song he showed to me was Overjoyed. He played the whole song. I mean, the bass line, the melody, the chord at the same time with a regular 4-string bass. That's what really inspired me. I guess, you know, bass is not just the bass. Bass could be something else. It just depends how you look at it and depends how you grow with it. So that really opened my mind again and start learning bass in a different way. So thanks to Victor, definitely.
Well, that's so funny because earlier I played Cannonball Adderley, and I told the story of what happened when he moved, oh gosh, so many years ago, to New York. And he decided to go to this club. He was new in town, and he didn't know anybody. So he went to this little place called Cafe Bohemia, and he didn't want to leave his sax in the car, so he brought it in with him, and he went up to one of the guys in the band and said, could I sit in with you for a song or two? And they said, yeah. So he had learned his chops so well that he became a hit in New York City, and they didn't want to let him go.
Wow.
So, you know, I'm supposed to tell you that because, you know, wherever you go, and you're certainly in the right place, I'm thinking that you're really loving where you are,
yes.
Don't ever hesitate about going up to anybody. If you go to New York, if you go to Los Angeles or Nashville, wherever, somebody is going to appreciate the groove that you have, and you are invariably going to be asked to sit in. Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you.
You are so welcome. You are so what? You got cut off.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm still waiting for that call. You know, anybody that wants me to sit in, I'm in.
Hey, listen, you're doing fine on your own. You know what? You might not need any call.
Look at that. Thank you, Trish.
You are welcome. Well, listen, I want to get to another track on First Step. And you, what is the feedback when people tell you if they have a particular favorite or two? One of my favorites certainly is what we just heard. I love Early Birds. And I know that there are other tracks that people gravitate to. But what is the feedback you're getting about a real favorite on First Step?
Oof. It's really different. A couple friends told me the R&B and pop lover, they said their favorite was My Love. But the smooth jazz, contemporary jazz lovers, they like Razz Groove and Basement. I don't have a favorite. I like them all.
Well, actually, going back to My Love, that seems like the kind of song that would appeal to multi-genres. You could get that song on a number of different stations. So think about that, because it's a song I'm going to play right now. Is that okay by you?
Yes, please. Thank you, Trish.
So who tell me about Cindy Bernadette. She's really, she feels you, and that's pretty precious, pretty priceless, actually.
Yes. Well, we've been good friends, and the process of this song, we've talked about it. Well, actually, also, this song is the first song that I've ever written lyrics to.
Really?
Yes. So, and then I asked her, Cindy, you know, give me some tips about writing songs. And she said, you know, just be yourself, you know, be simple, be genuine. Don't be too mushy. And then so then I came up with My Love. That was really an expression of me growing up together with my bass. Because my bass right now, it's my only and my first bass since 1989, I would say. It was
wow.
My birthday. Yeah. So I really grew up with this. So it's really about my bass.
It's a love song to your bass.
Yes.
I love it. I love it. Well, this song is really something special. So for everybody who's listening live and for everybody who will listen in the archives, this is Reza Saleh with Cindy Bernadette, My Love, from First Step.
Thank you.
Seriously, I get a chill. I wait for that. That rascal, Cindy and you, Reza, make such a good combination, and that bass line throughout the song, seriously, I can hear that on, you know, contemporary jazz stations, what there is left, R&B, adult contemporary stations. That's across the board a meat and potato song. You got a gold mine right there.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Because that's one of those songs, seriously. That's one of those songs that people hear behind closed doors, and whatever they thought they were going to get accomplished that day goes right out the window.
And that's a good thing, right?
Oh, my God. That is such a good thing. That is like an afternoon delight song right there. Honey, let's go home early song. Yeah. Yeah. So I know we're not going to keep you that much longer. Tell me what you got on the horizon. Tell me what plans that you have. You're going to stay in that part of California, right?
Yes. Stay here. Next plan, I'm doing a collaboration with a couple of Indonesian musicians that I studied when I was little. And
really?
It's a privilege for me. Yeah, and then they're willing to do collaboration with me. And it's also to promote the Indonesian music, traditional mix in the jazz. And we're going to have it free download. And I can't mention the exact date yet because it's not confirmed yet. But definitely the project is on. And then I'm doing my birthday bash next month. My birthday is on August 30th. So perfect timing too, and we're going to have a concert on that weekend, and details coming up.
So I'm very intrigued. What kind of music? Is this music that is basically Indonesian, or is it a combination of jazz and classical with Indonesian? How does that work?
Both. Some instrument we could collab and play at the same time. Because but some we can't because the tuning is just slightly different. So even though we tried it, it's gonna sound kind of a little bit off. But we can, but we managed to put them together. That's where my teacher comes in. He knows how to way to make it work. Where I'm learning from him. Yes.
We're gonna have like instruments that you play in Indonesia, right?
An Indonesian instrument like the Indonesian percussion, Indonesian gongs, Indonesian flute might come in too. I'm very excited for that.
Oh, my God, I am too. You don't know. Oh, see, this is what I'm talking about. This is why I get so excited, because now you're here and you've learned a lot from being here with playing with the different folks that you have played with. And now you add something totally unique because you get them because you know those musicians so well. And now you add your own take. It's going to be delicious.
Yes, that's the plan.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm very excited for it. Yes.
Well, you have to make me a promise that you'll refresh our memories as far as this project is concerned, and then maybe when you have a tune, could I play it?
Oh, absolutely. I was going to ask, would you mind playing it? So, definitely.
Awesome. Are you kidding? Honey, this show is not called Hybrid Jazz for nothing. Absolutely.
Right.
Oh, no. This is what is so exciting about the different kinds of concepts under that umbrella of instrumental music that it might not be technically jazz, according to some people, but it sounds like jazz. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yes.
That is absolutely wonderful. Well, I'm going to let you go, and I know that we decided on 30 minutes, and I wanted to play you know what? I wanted to play Good Night. So I love that. Love the song.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, thank you. I don't know what the story is, and maybe it will. Everybody's got their own little connotation about what that song could mean. So when people hear it, they will be comforted. It's a very comforting song. And I thank you, Reza, for being here with us. I do.
Oh, you're most welcome. Thank you.
Absolutely. You stop by anytime and keep us abreast of what's going on with the next project.
Okay, will do. I promise. Thank you.
All right,
Jess.
Good. Yay. Have a great day.
You too. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Reza Saleh. Love that. And I love this song. So glad he had the opportunity to spend about 30 minutes with us. This is Good Night from Reza's First Step CD. Now, that's the only trouble. It's just too doggone short. But isn't that the sweetest song? Oh, my God. It's so beautiful. Oh, my. Reza Saleh. I like his pronunciation of his name. Love names. And that new project sounds so wonderful. Oof, when... You got to grasp the concept of this. If you are from a particular country, you leave that country, you go elsewhere, you have picked up, after having learned what is so, in the soil of your own country, and then you go to another, and you pick up different habits or music or skills or perceptions from another country. Then you go back to the original country and you put all that together. You know how exciting that is? So we'll keep in touch with Reza and we'll hear that new kind of exciting music. Very, very cool. Love it. Yes, right on time. Look at her. Oh my gosh. We just decided yesterday that we were going to do this because Tracy Hamlin is going to be at Bethesda Blues and Jazz this Friday. Having been at that venue with David P. Stevens and Carol Riddick and company, we just loved it. It's very much like the Hamilton in D.C., but Bethesda is in the shadow of D.C., so it's perfect for Little Washington, is what we call Bethesda. Tracy is on the phone with us, and hopefully by this time she has recovered from the wedding of Matt and Debbie from the other day. Tracy.
Yes, it was beautiful. And Debbie was a beautiful bride.
Wasn't she? And I have to say a special thank you to you, Mrs. Landry, because if it wasn't for you, I would have gone home.
I know. That was so funny. I thought when I called you, I thought for sure you were already there.
No.
And hoping that you were going to guide me in.
Well, people don't know. And look, we just had lost for a while in the chat room our good friend Beach from Southern California. Now she is back. She had a job for a while. That job did not work out the way she wished. She's back in the chat room. So she knows Matt very well, as does Griselda, who's in the chat room. They could not believe it. This is the truth. Matt Williams told us the wrong directions to his wedding.
You are not putting him on blast.
I am putting him on blast. And then he thought that everybody was going to keep updated via Facebook because he's such a geek that he does. He is a charge. Oh, my God. So, blissfully, it was not one of those situations where there was a lot of people at the wedding because there was just a small group of us who could fit in, but it was lovely, wasn't it?
It really was. It really was. I was glad to be a part of their special day.
Me too. And you, this is so cool that you are playing Bethesda Blues and Jazz. And I don't know how much you can say, Tracy, about what's mm-hmm. happening with you. But for everybody who's listening, there is one thing after another happening with this woman. I cannot keep up. You're making me busy.
Yes, I'm so excited. I can't talk about everything, but
I know.
First things first, I'm excited about performing for the Bethesda Blues and Jazz Supper Club for the very first time. As you mentioned before, it is a gorgeous room. So I'm very excited to be performing there with a full band and background singers. Benji Parecki, piano player extraordinaire, is going to be my MD.
Oh!
And great band that he put together for me. And, of course, my girl Leslie Christian on background vocals, and I have a new background singer, Anissa Twinkie Hargrove from Shades of Soul. So she's going to help me out for this one. So, yes, and they sound amazing. So I'm very excited about that.
Benji Parecki on keyboard. Oh, my God, Tracy, this is going to be so much fun.
Oh, yeah, and Benji, he's just a beast on the piano. So, and Benji played on my first CD, and he played on my current CD.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. And let us make sure that folks know that Tracy is no stranger to meeting, keeping, and forming lifelong bonds with other musicians. I'm just going to share this story, Tracy, because Tracy said because Nat, her wonderful husband, could not come to the Jimmy Webb concert at Germano's last week, Tracy said, why don't you come with me? So we did. We enjoyed the amazing Jimmy Webb. Jimmy met Tracy after the show. I could see it in his eyes. He went, oh, my God. He hadn't heard her yet. I know that he has heard her since. You and Jimmy are going to be doing something together because he loved you. He loved you.
I would thoroughly enjoy that. And I just thought it was so interesting that during his show he said, nobody records Jimmy Webb songs anymore. So I was tickled when I went up to him and said, you know, you said nobody records your music anymore, but I did, and gave him a CD. So I was tickled, and especially tickled when I got a hug and a thank you. So I thought that was really sweet, and that was such a great moment.
And then he may not know yet, and I told you the other day that I was going to write to him and tell him. He may not know this, but he will. Here's Tracy with this beautiful CD, unbelievable energy. This Is My Life, which is a spinoff on Jimmy's song, This Is Your Life. Do you want to share the news about what happened to this project of yours in the UK?
Yes. As of last week, my CD is number one in the UK on the soul charts, and I was informed that it's also going to be number one for a second week in a row. So I've been doing the happy dance.
I don't know what you're doing, but God is just like working puppet strings for you. I don't know what
you're
doing.
Absolutely is. I mean, you know, even when I think back to, you know, how I was saying, oh, I'm not going to record anymore, I'm so discouraged, and I mean, the way that this whole concept was created, and I mean, we recorded this project in 8 to 9 weeks in the midst of me moving and going overseas, and I mean, it was so much going on, and when I look back, I said it was just the grace of God that got me through, because that schedule was just probably the most hectic I've ever had. So,
yeah.
And then, you know, then at the end to just be so pleased with the project, because my talented friends who are songwriters and musicians and producers, they really just came through for me above and beyond.
Well, you know what? You're supposed to be doing this. I mean, really, what else would you be doing in life to bless people the way you have blessed them? You've got this voice. It would be absolutely criminal if you were to hide that voice, you know, like Marianne Williamson said, and Nelson Mandela, I know that he's been attributed to having this particular quote, but it's Marianne Williamson, and I think Nelson Mandela, bless his heart, did this in one of his speeches. But to paraphrase, who are you to hide how glorious you are?
And, you know, when I mentioned this in the last interview, you know, my husband, he's my biggest fan, and he's always talking about how God has blessed me with his voice and how I'm supposed to be sharing it, and it's not up to me, and you're either in the way or on the way, and I have clearly been in my way. So.
I love that. You're either on your way or in your way. Thank you, Nat.
So.
That is so cool. Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm so curious because, you know, you and I both were at Bethesda Blues and Jazz when we saw David P. Stevens and Carol Riddick, and that was a show and a half, wasn't it? Mm.
Oh, yeah. That was my first time hearing Carol live, so I was very excited about that.
She's
incredible.
She's really a doll, spending some time with her backstage. And then, you know, she was fresh off. David was there July the 5th. So on July 4th, she was singing at that huge VH1 extravaganza in Philadelphia, right? And she had some stories backstage about Grace Potter. Oh, my gosh.
Grace Potter.
I know. She's amazing. And every one of the backup singers that that day and night had a chance to love on Grace. And if folks did not see that show, here's this little white girl who has the absolute temerity to sing rock steady in Philadelphia.
Yeah, she is so talented. You know, the first time I heard Grace, I went to a Kenny Chesney, Tim McGraw concert. And she opened and she came out barefoot singing a cappella, a song at the top of her range. And it was incredible. And I'm thinking, who is this girl? I had never heard her. So, as you know, somebody mentioned her name, and then I just started downloading her music during her concert. She is incredible.
She's got an old soul, and she's just apparently so naturally and authentically sweet that you can't help but love her, which makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and it's great to hear that she's sweet because I just adore her vocals.
Yeah, so did Carol. So this venue, I mean, here you are coming in on Friday. I'm really curious because, you know, we have talked about so many of the musicians that we know in the Baltimore, mm-hmm. D.C. area, and, of course, you're from the Baltimore area. Did Benji tell you, is he going to surprise you, who else that he has on stage? Because I'm really chomping at the bit here now.
Yes, well, on bass we have Al Caldwell, who is a friend of mine, and we actually connected because he's mutual friends with a drummer that I worked with when I lived in Atlanta, and Al used to play for Jonathan Butler. He still plays with Vanessa Williams, and, I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. So he is, I mean, whenever I get anything now, I just call Al, but Benji found Mike Gamble on guitar and Cornell Webb on drums, who is Blues Webb's nephew.
Oh, my gosh! Oh, that's awesome.
So it's going to be a great band.
Mike Gamble just played at a big birthday bash for Christian Dimasones in Virginia last Friday.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, I didn't realize he was going to be there in Woodbridge.
He, man, it's a small world, isn't it?
It really is.
That's so cool. And I know that you can't talk about the other stuff, but I'm just so excited. And this has stuck because you mentioned this at the Jimmy Webb show that we saw at Germano's. Might there be the situation where you would pull together a show of doing Jimmy Webb songs?
There, it's a very, very strong possibility. I'm still putting some of the pieces together to see if I can even make it work. But just sitting there listening to him perform those, I mean, his lyrics are just incredible. And, you know, combined with all the stories that he told about working with Frank Sinatra to Johnny Cash to Glenn Campbell, I mean, it was just incredible. So I was inspired on so many levels. And I think that would be something great for me to do, not consistently, but just spot dates here and there, just to do something different.
Tracy, yes. And here's why. Because it's so intriguing. And he's of the age now where he would be absolutely fascinated. When you do some of his songs that were meant from a male perspective in a female perspective, that is fascinating. If you were to do Wichita Lineman,
oh my God.
Oh, my God. And you know what? You know who would be really intrigued with working with you would be Ken Navarro. Because Ken...
You know, I've
yes.
never met him. I know the name.
Oh.
I have never... I know who he is, but I have never met him. And
he,
we have run in the same circles for years, but I've never met
yes,
him.
Yes, you have. You really have. And he's right in Ellicott City. So...
Right.
He has done this amazing project whereby it's just him and the guitar. He does all of the chord changes, everything that a person who needs another guitarist on stage would do. And he has tackled Jimmy Webb songs. And if he knew that you were interested in doing something like this.
Oh, my.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
a great time to reach out to him. Especially
yes.
if he's that close, you know, he's in the area.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. See, there's a couple of people in the chat room who are going, oh, yeah. That would just be too cool. And when are you going to tour with Gloria again?
Gloria just had surgery, so she is going to be out until the end of the month. So we'll be in St. Louis on August 30th. I believe we start back up then.
Man, I hope she's feeling okay because that surgery. Woo!
She's doing well because she's already sending, she's already emailing me jokes.
Oh, is she okay?
Yes. Yesterday, she's joking her. So I said, okay, she's fine. But, I mean,
oh, good.
She's just somebody, no matter what she goes through, she just, it's like she takes a licking and keeps on ticking. I've never seen anybody like her.
Oh, bless her heart. I'm glad to hear that because when you said that the surgery was about her shoulder, that could go a couple of different ways, so that's wonderful.
Yeah, she's doing very well.
Okay, now I was going to play a song from you, and it's never too much. And what?
Yes, and can I just tell you, it's interesting that you chose that because never too much. Going to be the next single from my current CD, as well as the next single on my house for my house project, because I do
See?
House music that's all throughout Europe. So I have two projects out right now.
And that is exactly why I played this. And see, this is so cool because, of course, it's a Luther song, but when a female does it, it's a whole different kind of vibe. So what made you decide to play that? Did you want to be able to do that song? Did somebody suggest that to you or what?
Well, I used to do it when I was performing at a club in Atlanta on a regular basis. And I loved doing cover songs in my show. So, of course, my husband said, you're doing it in your show, you need to record it. And it's so interesting. My husband again. So it's so interesting because Onaje, Alan Gums, when he heard it, he said, you know, it's so different listening to you sing it because when you sing it, I know you're talking about your husband. And so it just gives it a whole different vibe for me. And I never thought about it that way. But it's such a great, great tune.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding? That's one of the songs, you know, when we were listening to terrestrial radio, whenever that song came on the radio, time just stopped because it's one of the most joyful, urgent, anticipating songs that you'd ever hear, and you just gave it a whole new energy. So wait till Jimmy Webb hears that one.
And, you know, DJ Spin has done a remix, and it is just incredible. So
oh, man.
I'll be sending it out probably next week. So I'm just waiting for the okay from the other record label. But, yeah, they did a great job on the remix.
And are you going to do this song, Bethesda Blues and Jazz, this Friday?
Yes. I'll be doing it on Friday.
Yay!
And at 8 o'clock, I'm doing a 90-minute show. So lots of songs.
Oh, that's – oh, a 90-minute show. That's awesome. Okay, cool. Well, let me play this. Don't go away. And we'll talk a little bit more after the song ends. Is that cool?
Wonderful.
All right. Tracy Hamlin's with us. This is My Life is the new CD, and Never Too Much is the song you're just about to hear on Hybrid Jazz.
never too much, never too much.
Zelda says in the chat room, there can't ever be too much of Tracy Hamlin.
Oh, bless you. That's so sweet.
That's what she said, too. That is for sure. You know what? Seriously, and I'll tell everybody who is listening, and Tracy, you may already know this, but this is significant, honestly. Whenever you are on the show, there is, within a very short period of time, there's already a lot of live listening, and then people realize that you've been on the show, they listen later. There are hundreds of people who listen to you when you are on the show.
Wow, that is just incredible.
It really is. I mean, you know, there have been times, and now Blog Talk Radio is doing something really special because now, with the home studio screen, we can actually plug into telling everybody who's on Blog Talk Radio. So now the double digits have gone into triple digits for live listening. But then people need to decide if they want to listen to a show. So whenever you have been on, there has been never less, seriously, than 1,500 people who have listened to you.
Oh, my. Patrice, a huge part of that is because of you, too. I mean, you have a huge base, fan base, and everybody just loves you. I mean, us musicians, we talk about you all the time because we appreciate what you do for us. And because of you, I mean, you help us sell records. So, you know,
well,
a huge part of that is thanks to you.
Well, bless your heart. You know what? And that makes me happy that there is that scenario whereby people who come on the show can get their music sold because, Tracy, you know, it's hard to figure out, even with promotion people, where to market the kind of music that gets heard. You know this because we've talked about
Absolutely. I mean, it's very, very difficult, and it takes a lot of money to get it, you know, outside of your local region. It takes a lot of money that usually indie artists don't have. So thank goodness for social media, and for me, thank goodness for Europe, because
you can
put it up online, and, I mean, when I tell you, it gets out to everybody over there. It's just amazing how music travels in Europe.
Isn't that something? They're so appreciative in certain countries more than others of what American singers and folks who are involved in instrumental music here, they really do rally around you, don't they?
It is just, I mean, I tell you, I've become an old sentimental fool. I just cry all the time. I mean, you know, from the emails. I mean, people, I'm sure social media has a huge part, you know, is a huge part of this as well, because people can get to me, whereas 5 years ago, and when my first CD came out back in 2005, people couldn't just send me an email and I respond, you know, and I like to, I mean, I love that interaction, and it's funny because my husband, he's always saying, you respond too fast. I'm sitting here. I got the email. I can respond now. No shame in my game.
Oh, absolutely. No. You know what? And that you bring up a good point, and this gets to be an ethereal subject, but a spiritual one, and we talk about these kinds of things all the time. But really, that's so important. When you decide that you are not going to respond to somebody right away, and then there's a voice inside your head that says, why don't you do it now?
Mm-hmm.
You just never know when you're going to have the opportunity to talk to that person again, because people are dropping like flies, Sister Child, can I just say?
Yes, they are. That is so true. It is so true. And I mean, and I think I get a kick out of when I respond, they respond back immediately because they can't believe that it was, you know, it came directly to me and I replied. So, and I just, you know, I absolutely enjoy it.
Well, that's I know that I told you, I told a couple of people, I was so astounded because I found out that Jeff Golub and Brian Auger had this new musical project, and I almost dropped my teeth because you don't expect these kinds of collaborations with people.
Not at all, and that's going to be a great project.
Oh my God. So, you know, I thought, oh, Trish, you're so foolish for thinking this way. Come on, that's just crazy talk. I went to Brian Auger's website, and I found out his contact information. And doggone if Brian Auger didn't write to me on Sunday saying, let's set it up.
That is so cool. But again, in this day and time with social media, I mean, most people have Facebook pages and, you know, Twitter accounts, and they all check it personally. You know, it's not somebody else doing it for them. So I think that
is
wonderful, Trish.
Oh, my God. And it's so fascinating because, honestly, Tracy, the same thing happened with Steve Cole, the great saxophonist, in the past 48 hours. I reached out to him on Facebook. He said, let's do it. Let's do it on the 30th. It's
goodness,
so crazy.
That is,
I know.
Awesome.
And then, you know, George Duke is coming on the 6th of August. So.
Well, I'm excited.
Wow! Now, look, while I'm talking to you, I want to be able to do this because I figured that you didn't necessarily have the time. You mentioned the last time you were here, you were excited for me to play a particular song on the CD. Tell me the song that you wanted me to play, and I didn't have it in mind, but you did.
But you played This Is Your Life.
Right.
See, I told you, for me, every week I have a new favorite song on my CD.
So oh, I know.
That was a few weeks ago.
Okay, so you had, and I'm trying to think of the female that you admire that sang this song.
Oh, Renee Diggs.
Yes!
Yes, Renee Diggs. She is the vocalist that influenced me the most. And can I tell you, I actually got a chance to record background vocals for her. She called me personally, and I thought I was going to pass out. And then, on top of that, when Starpoint had their reunion, many people don't know, but Renee Diggs passed away several years ago. And when they did their reunion concert in France, they asked me to be a part of the group.
Oh, my
and
God.
It was the most incredible experience. And, I mean, I could never, ever, ever fill Renee Diggs' shoes, but I sure hope that I made her proud because it was just, there are no words. There are no words. But just to go sing all of her songs, which is what I always did anyway. So.
Well, you know what? I'm looking. The way that the studio is set up right here at our house, I'm looking at abbreviations on your CD. So tell me the name of the song because I want to play it before you go.
Bring Your Sweet Loving Back.
Okay.
And it should be track number
8. Okay, let me see if I can actually do this.
Which is a song that was made popular by Starpoint, but it was more popular in Europe than it was in the States.
Starpoint, how is it that from when to when were they really hot?
They were really hot probably in the late 80s and early 90s. But they had probably 10-plus projects. But they were really hot late 80s, early 90s.
Wow.
And their biggest hit was Object of My Desire.
Wow. Okay. Because, you know, you and I are different ages, and I'm older, so that particular, some of that just skipped right over.
Mm-hmm.
My realm of thinking. And in Philadelphia, from Philadelphia to D.C. to Baltimore, people were listening to different kinds of music.
Right. And, you know, they were popular during the time of Atlantic Star and Midnight Star, all of those groups. They were right around the same time.
Atlantic Star. Oh, my God. Now you're talking.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You know what? And I don't want to keep you because I didn't know. Look, I just asked you yesterday if you wanted to do this because I thought it would be cool if we were going to do this. Not necessarily on Thursday because that's pushing things because you're going to be Friday at Bethesda Blues and Jazz. But what are you really looking forward to now that you've got all this good news? What is something that is making you so excited that you're chomping at the bit, or can you even say?
Well, I can't say everything, but one of the things that I'm really, really excited about is I feel like I have found my voice again, and I am going to be working on another jazz and R&B project. So I'm just exciting that I'm back. I'm excited about being back in the game. I'm writing again, and I'm excited about doing solo live performances again, because it had been a long time. I was singing background with Gloria Gaynor for 3 years, just, you know, basically taking a break. And now I'm ready to get back out there and do my own thing again. So
yeah,
the opportunity is there for me to keep moving forward.
You clarified that, and I'm really glad you did clarify that, because you just, in this little statement that you just made, finding your voice again, I went, what? But now I understand, because when you are singing background for somebody, that's a whole different story.
It is, and if you do it too long, it's harder to step forward and be featured, because
you just
get so used to being in the background that you really don't want that spotlight anymore. You know, even Gloria features me twice in her show, and initially, you know, I would say, oh, I hope we're running out of time and my part gets cut short, and I don't have to go out there.
Really?
Oh, my goodness. I dreaded it. I just enjoyed being in the background, and, you know, it was a different kind of, I just didn't have any worries. But now, being back out in front, there are no worries. I'm just excited to just be sharing this music and using this God-given gift to touch hearts and souls, you know? So, I mean,
it's
a whole different kind of vibe. It really, really is.
And lest folks don't understand this, having seen Tracy 3-4 times now, and sometimes when she didn't know that I was necessarily there, this woman, you can enjoy the CD and you will love This Is My Life, but until you see her in person, you will think you are on another planet, or think she is from another planet, because you don't get to see this kind of vocal prowess just anywhere. Some people sing and they are technically very good, and we mentioned this to Reza when he was on the show this, some minutes ago. But Tracy has everything, the absolute technique, the absolute beautiful pacing of a show, the voice that goes from here to planet Uranus. I'm telling you, this is a goddess. And I hope I haven't embarrassed you too much.
Yeah, you kind of did, but thank you so much.
My mission is complete here now.
I hear you say this, but when I get up on the stage, it is such an out-of-body experience. And when I finish, I don't really remember what happened. It is the craziest thing. I really get in the zone. You know, and when folks, did you hear when people said this, or, you know, did you get your standing ovation? And I'm like, really?
Oh, my God.
You know,
that
funny.
I get out there,
I get on this high, and then when I come down, I'm exhausted.
Oh, definitely.
But,
oh, my gosh, because you don't understand. You put all that emotion in there, Tracy. Oh, my God. It's like you're living each song when you do it.
And I mean, I guess I just exert so much energy when I come off stage. I just want a good old juicy burger. Serious, I want a good meal when I come off the stage.
I completely understand. Because there's not a whole lot of people that exert that kind of not only physical sense, because people don't understand you're up on that stage. It's physical. And then you put the emotion into it. So you might as well be wrung out like a washcloth at the end of that show.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. Because, I mean, you know, combined with my instrument being internal, you know, it's just a different kind of energy being put out there.
Well, look, I've been pulled in all different directions lately, but I really want to get to Bethesda to see you this Friday because that's the perfect venue. You're going to feel so comfortable, and there's going to be a lot of people there. So we're going to have to gather our little family that we have in Baltimore, D.C., and get people from other states because they're coming. People from other states are coming, you know.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody, and you know, I'm looking forward to just giving a great show. Like I said before, it's an awesome band with awesome, I mean, it's just an awesome team of folks. So to be up on stage and have that kind of support is, you know, it's just absolutely wonderful.
Well, you've made Benji's day, making sure that he's music director. I know he loves working with you.
Yeah, Benji and I, we go way back to shopping in Japan and South Africa when we were on the road with Pieces of a Dream, so...
That's awesome. Well,
yeah.
I'm tickled for you, and I'm glad that you took the time. Thank you so much, Tracy. That's so cool. I love you.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to put the word out there that I'm going to be performing in Bethesda this week, and, you know, hopefully, well, I'm sure, because you have such a huge audience that it'll help to bring some more folks in. So,
well, yeah. Oh, I heard that. I heard that little horn in the background.
I have to remind myself of a million things today, so that was one of my
You go do your million things. I'm going to play Bring Your Sweet Lovin' Back from This Is My Life. So you go and enjoy your day.
I love you, and I appreciate you and all that you do for me. So thank you so much.
You are so welcome, and I'll see you on Friday. Yay.
All righty. Take care. Have a great day. Bye, everybody in the chat room and everybody that's listening.
Bye-bye. Oh, yeah, here she is, Tracy Hamlin from This Is My Life on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Feast your ears.
Just like you used to do, a hundred.
This is Hybrid Jazz.
Sure. JT.
Isn't that nice? Woo! Arlington Jones. We don't hear enough from that man. Oh, what a man he is, too. Just a lovely man inside and out. That is from his 2004 Move the Heart CD, The Marriage of Love and Faithfulness, something that he would know all about, a deeply spiritual, completely committed family man who is active in his church, active in mentoring, making sure workshops are done for young kids so that they know the right path in life and in music. He is amazing. He's got training videos. The way I hear it, if you go to YouTube, you'll find a few of them. He's just awesome. Arlington Jones, can't say enough. Can't say enough about Tracy Hamlin. Oh, my God. No, can't say enough about Tracy. Seriously, you go to TracyHamlin.com. Find out what she's doing. Get the doggone CD. And then find out that you can get tickets. I think that you can get them from TracyHamlin.com. If not, BethesdaBluesJazz.com has the information that you need. If you are in the area, if you can get to the area and go see support Tracy on Friday night. Amazing. She's got a lot that's happening. Oh, you know what? I'm going to close up things early today. And this is not going to happen usually. This is the first time. This is one of the first times it's happened. But as opposed to going on vacations this summer, we've had a couple of staycations, maybe one or two more before the summer is through, since my son is going to start a new job. So one of the things that we're doing that's really special is going off to Meriwether Post Pavilion in Columbia today and seeing Bob Dylan and Wilco and My Morning Jacket. All of them will have full sets, and the first act is going to start at like 5 or so. So we got to get on the road. We'll see you on Thursday, and I'm going to tell you who's going to be on Thursday. I am very excited about this artist on Thursday. He's recently come to my attention, care of Henry, who owns Andy Music in Baltimore. He told our guest that he should get in contact with me so I could spread the word about his new project. So this will be explained sometime tonight when we come home, because we'll be a little pumped and Mama Bear will not be able to go back to sleep. Beach, I just want to tell you, she just logged out, but she'll know because she'll listen to the archives, hopefully, and Griselda will tell her. Our friend BJ from Southern California came back to us today. She had been on a little hiatus. She's back. We've had some guests in the chat room. The wonderful Griselda, iTrackIAS.com, has information about independent artists, speaking of which, and Grizz and everybody else who listens to the show will want to know this. My friend Dan, who came to us to Baltimore with his wife Carrie, they did a little business trip while they were in Baltimore, and I want to explain a little bit of this to you. The business trip was so that they could firm up plans to open up a particular kind of book and music store in Nashville. They're going to do that. The store will feature independent artists on vinyl and hard copy CD. I'm really excited about this. I think that Dan and Curry are going to set a precedent. So everybody and his mama, stay tuned for more information about that, because indies will have a place in Music City where they can know that their product will be sold. Isn't that awesome? I get a chill. It's going to be a comic book store and a music store and a bookstore. Oh, I'm so excited. So I'll tell you more about that. Steve Cole coming up on the 30th. George Duke on the 6th of August. There's more to tell you as we firm up these dates and our special guest this coming Thursday. You'll see that on Facebook tonight and via Twitter. If you're not on Twitter, make sure you are. God bless you, each and every one. and have a safe next 48 hours or so. Love you so much. I really do. Thank you for the support. I'm Trish from Hybrid Jazz. Talk to you soon.